Well, as the minions exit the church this morning, we are reminded that He is a good, good Father, and we are His church. Amen? Amen. Well, we are going to continue to talk about exactly what that means today. We started a new series last week called We Are the Church. And last week we asked this question. Does church still matter? Does church still matter? And we discovered some clear and compelling answers to that question in the Scripture. We learned that the church is the only thing on this earth that will last forever. Think about that. The church is the only thing on this earth that will last forever. It is the only thing on this earth that will spend eternity with its Creator. The church is the only thing on earth entrusted to carry and convey the life-giving gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the only thing on earth called out and called together to worship and to declare the glory of God. Does church still matter today? And you better believe it does. More than ever, because as we've just sung, we are closer to the return of Jesus Christ for His bride today than we have ever been. I think I'm safe in saying that. Yet to an increasing majority in this country, even among professing Christians, the church seems to be losing traction. Pollster George Barna notes that in the last decade, the adult population of this country has increased by 15%, while the number of adults who either don't attend church or only attend on major holidays increased by 92%. We're going in the wrong direction here. Barna goes on to describe America today as a nation of believers, but not belongers. Think about that. Americans in general today value their independence like never before. They exalt comfort, they exalt convenience above all else, and feel they have a right to live life on their own terms, regardless of what those terms might be. And unfortunately, that cultural mindset has crept into the church. The problem is that these two things are incompatible. The core message of the church is this. As we talked about last week, the core message of Jesus Christ and His bride is this. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Each member of God's church, the Scripture tells us, belongs to all the others. The core message of the church places sacrifice as central because sacrifice is what set us apart. Amen? The core message of the church is diametrically opposed to living your life on your own terms. The core message of the church is about living our lives together on God's terms. For the church in general and for this church in particular, to thrive and to flourish, and every member must embrace the reality that we're called to belong. You hear me? God calls us not to just believe, but He calls every follower of Jesus Christ to belong to His body. To be an integral part of His church. Listen to how the Apostle Paul described it to the Romans. If you've got your Bibles with you, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. And we're going to jump in at verse 8. Romans chapter 12. Excuse me, verse 4. We're going to go through verse 8. Paul said this to the Romans. He says, just as each of us has one body, literally, with many members, fingers, toes, ears, eyes, and these members do not have all the same function, what a beautiful picture Paul paints here. He says, so in Christ, we who are many, we form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. Did you hear that? And look at the person to your right. Say, you belong to me. Whether that's your spouse or not. This is getting weird. I got it. Okay. So let's do it again. Look to the person to your left. Unless you're on the end of a row. And then it's even weirder. And say, you belong to me. Each member belongs to all the others. I just didn't want that to come in one ear and go out the other. I mean, that's significant, folks. We laugh, but that's significant. And it pushes back on our independence and who we and what we value as Americans, making our own way. You belong to me. I belong to you. And as His body, we belong to Him. He goes on to say this. Paul says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. The gifts we have are not manufactured by ourselves. They're not produced through our education. Certainly they can be enhanced. But the gifts that we have are given to us by God's grace. Paul goes on to say, if a man's gift is prophesying, man, speaking the truth in love, he says, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If his gift is serving, let him serve. Man, is your gift serving? Serve. He says, if it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let them give generously. If it's leadership, let them govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, be merciful. Let them do it cheerfully. And what's your gift? What's your gift? Do you belong to this church? Or do you just believe? Man, this is serious stuff, folks. This is the heart of the New Testament. People getting a hold of this and understanding it and living their lives in it and out of it is what has moved the church forward for over 2,000 years. Even though many don't get it and many don't want to get it and many want to live independently from the body of Christ. It is those who have grabbed a hold of what the church is. The bride of Christ. Think about that. These pictures in Scripture. The body. The bride. The building. Those who grab a hold of that. Those who, out of their love for Christ, embrace His bride. And take part in it. And find their part through it. Is what has moved the church to where we are today. Believing and not belonging. Believing and not bringing your gifts to bear in the body of Christ is foreign to New Testament Christianity. Therefore, it's foreign to the Orthodox gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you hear what I'm saying? Believing and not belonging. Believing in Christ and just doing your own thing independent of the church is not God's plan for your life. So, whoa, man, did he say that? Yeah. Confidently, to all those who have separated themselves from the church. Let me tell you, the church has hurt a bunch of people over the years. I mean, and it's had its share of miscues and blemishes and all that kind of thing. The church is not perfect because you're here and I'm here. But the church is His body and it is His bride. And we are called to be the church regardless. If a church has hurt you, you go talk to the pastor, you go talk to the elders, and you let them know how that church has hurt you, and you try to come to a place of reconciliation. And if that doesn't work, you find a church that loves you and wraps its arms around you, and you be part of that church. But do not abandon the bride of Christ. Independent Christians are scattered. I've seen them come through here and go by the dozens. 25 years of ministry. Everywhere. Man, I'm better off on my own. No, you're not. I don't care how you try to justify it. I don't care how connected you are to a parachurch organization, and that is serving your needs and what have you. God never intended for His children who believe in Christ and follow Christ to operate independently from the body of Christ. Not the body of Christ in general. If you thumb through the pages of the New Testament, everyone who stepped over the line and believed stepped into a local church. We've gotten away from that understanding. And it rises out of pride and it rises out of sin because we think we can go it alone. And the church is imperfect and somebody hurt me or they didn't talk to me. Good Lord! Where do you go that doesn't happen? We're all human beings. I forgot what I was going to preach about today. I don't know what just happened there. Actually, I think I do. And believing and belonging is foreign to the New Testament. Believing and not belonging. Man, so if the trend in American Christianity is to believe but not to belong, I think I'm safe in saying we're moving in an unbiblical direction. If the trend in the church, where more and more believers are not part of the local church, or they're an anonymous part of a mega church, they're not a functioning part of the church, they can come and go as they please, nobody knows, nobody cares, they don't really belong, they're there or they're not there, what have you, that fits right into our cultural mindset. Nothing against mega churches. They do phenomenal work. Many people come to Christ in those churches, but it's just easy to hide. And a lot of times that whole thing moves to what we call pajama church. I don't want to fight the traffic anymore, so there's really no need for me to get out of bed because I can watch him on TV. Say, oh, well, when I go to church, many times that's actually what I'm doing anyway. I'm watching him on TV. Why go? If you're not a part of it. But if you're an integral part of the body of Christ, the church is a whole different experience. It's not a consumer fest. It is a contributor's fest. Because this thing can't be what this thing needs to be without you. Listen to what Paul goes on to tell the Corinthians. The body metaphor again, which is such a brilliant metaphor that Paul puts out here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. Everybody there? Paul says this. He says, the body is a unit, picking up from Romans here. The body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. We get that. Okay, we can't live without our lungs. You can have all the you can have 500 fingers, but if you can't breathe, you're dead. I mean, that's kind of the way I think. Okay, good thing Paul was a little more high-minded. Okay, he says, so it is with Christ. For we're all baptized by one Spirit into one body. And he goes on to verse 14. He says, now the body is not made up of one part of many. He does beat this horse to death here, though. He says, now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. It would still be there and it still gets you around. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye and I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, which would be weird, where would the sense of hearing be? You could just see. You couldn't hear anything. You couldn't smell anything. If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, don't miss this. Verse 18, but in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body. What are the parts of the body? What are the parts of this body? Raise your hand if you get that. You, me. Listen, God has arranged the parts of the body, you and me, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. Man, that's the sovereignty of God. That's the intention of God for His body. You're here for a purpose, for God's purpose, to fit into all the other parts in this body to accomplish God's purpose for this church. And this church will not accomplish God's purpose unless you play your part. Because God arranged you here. And if you don't feel like you need to be here, then you're sort of a disembodied part of the body. Okay? You need to find the body that you need to connect to. Okay? We don't need 500 fingers. Some church may be lacking a finger. He says, if they were all one part, where would the body be? Man, we're all here for a different reason. As it were, there are many parts but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. He says, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. I don't know about you, but I've read that body metaphor in 1 Corinthians 12 1,000 times over the years, even to the point where if I'm reading through Corinthians in my devotions and I get to it, I just kind of scan it because I know it. Yeah. Man, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And do you view the church that way? Do you view your relationship with the church that way? Or is it just a place you come on Sunday? And this church needs you. This church needs you to bring your gifts to bear. Because God wants to do something special here. And it's only going to happen when we get a vision, each of us in our own lives, for playing our part. And believing is belonging. If God has placed you in this body of Christ, He has done so with great intent and purpose. Every one of you. All of us. And so if you don't know why you're here, I want to challenge you this morning. Feel like, I don't know what part I play. And I totally get that. It's a process. I mean, I understand that. I know many of you are probably saying, I don't know what part I play. A couple things. Number one, you're here for a purpose. Get on your knees and ask God. God, what part do you want me to play? Why am I at Tapestry? Why am I in this local church? What's my part? What part of the body am I? And expect Him to reveal that to you. Not in an audible voice, typically, but through conversations that you have here in the body of Christ, through things He reveals to you as you read His Word, as you continue to press into Him and pray and say, God, why am I here? Why am I here? And when He begins to reveal that to you, whether it's in your small group, whether it's in our men's ministry, our women's ministry, on our women's retreat, whether it's teaching the children downstairs, whether it's that special gift of working in the nursery, embrace it. Say, thank you, God, for the privilege. Because let me tell you something. When it comes to the Christian life, that's where we find fulfillment. You say, I don't know, this Christian thing not really working for me. I'm not all that fulfilled. I don't know. It seems to work for some people, but doesn't seem to work for me. You know where fulfillment is? Fulfillment is finding your part and playing it. in God's plan. Period. Period. Finding your part and playing it in God's plan. Scripture teaches that we've all been uniquely gifted by God. Every believer has a spiritual gift, at least one spiritual gift that is conveyed to that believer at conversion. Most believers have many spiritual gifts, more than one. But we've all been uniquely gifted by God. We just walked through some of those gifts in Romans when he says, do you have the gift of mercy? Do you have the gift of encouragement? Well, if you do, then encourage. I don't know what to do. I don't know what part to play in the church. Are you a good encourager? Do you come alongside people well and say, man, how you doing? I can see you seem a little down. Let me encourage you. That's a gift. That's playing your part here. He said, if you got the gift of mercy, be merciful. Two of our members this week lost their fathers, passed away on the same day. Man, gift of mercy, loving on people, the gift of compassion, the gift of service. Man, can I bring you dinner? What can I do? It's not rocket science. These are gifts. These are spiritual gifts. The Bible says that every gift God gives us, He gives us for one reason. Ephesians tells us that every spiritual gift that we have is given to us for this reason: the building up of the body of Christ. If you're gifted, you're not gifted so you'll be successful in business. You might be successful in business. You might make a whole lot of money. And God may have gifted you that way. But do you know why you make a whole lot of money? Do you know why you have influence over people? So that you can build up the body of Christ. If you're an encourager, you encourage. Why? To build up. Every gift that God gives us is for that one purpose. God, that we would understand that. What gifts has He given you? And are you using those gifts to build up and to edify His church? Believing is belonging. Find your place. Play your part. Get on your knees and ask God. Man, He wants to do something remarkable through this church. And He's waiting for each of us just to step up and bring our gifts to bear. Last Sunday, Gary closed the service with this benediction from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. It said, from Him, from God, the whole body, His church, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. How? As each part does its work. That's how the church grows. That's how the church is built up. And our men's ministry had an awesome event Wednesday night. We had a stakeout. We seemed to get a lot of guys showing up for $5 ribeyes. I mean, that's back buried in the pages of the Apocrypha. It's just a little secret to church growth that we use. Man, you bring the ribeyes out and the guys show up. But man, Wednesday night was awesome. We had a great time. It started cooling off. The grill's outside. Sean's burning all the hair off his arms, grilling steaks for everybody, and just good stuff. And John's team did a phenomenal job. Something interesting happened. My son Caleb was in town. From school. He's got drill with the military this week. And so he was in town spending the night with us. So he came. He loves this church. He loves steak. So he showed up. And, Caleb obviously grew up in this church. He was here when we planted this church, just a boy. And he made an interesting observation Wednesday night. And when we got home, Caleb said, Dad, man, I really enjoyed that. Tonight, he said that there was a good mix of new folks. He said, along with the backbone of the church. I said, well, what do you mean by that, son? He said, you know, the guys who were always there. Those were his words. He said, you know, the guys who were always there, the guys who carry the load. It's not an indictment of you if you weren't here, by the way. But that he would notice that. Let me tell you something, folks. Men, families, the next generation is watching you. The next generation is watching you. And may they say of you, when asked, what part of the body is he? What part of the body is she? What part of the body would you say their family is? Well, they're the backbone. Without the backbone, what does the body do? Collapses. It collapses. You know, I'm consistently kind of preaching to the choir around here, and I get that. But sometimes we just need to say thanks to the backbone. Those folks that, since my son was this big, have been carrying the load. Let me tell you something. That can get wearisome. The church consistently needs more and more people stepping up to carry the load. When it feels good, when it's convenient, and when it ain't. Because the people Caleb was talking about, man, they're here whether they got 3 hours sleep the night before, whether they just flew in town that morning, because the church matters. Now again, this is not an indictment of anybody else. This is just one snapshot of one event. But these are people that when you look at their life, their lives answer the question, does church matter? Yeah, it does. You know, we tiptoe around this whole making church a priority thing because we never want to equate church attendance with what? Salvation. Okay? Now hear me out. So we tiptoe around it and we never want to say, you know, well, your salvation is dependent on how much you come to church. Come on. If you've been around here for any length of time whatsoever, you know that's not what I believe. But let me make something perfectly clear this morning. Your presence and your participation in the body of Christ is evidence of your salvation. Why, did he just say, yeah! Goodness gracious! Doesn't mean you got to be at church every Sunday or you're not saved. But man, we're taking it to a whole different level on the other side of the spectrum in our culture today. That grace may abound as the church diminishes and dies. Your presence and your participation in the body of Christ is evidence of your salvation and of your commitment to Jesus Christ, which is one and the same. It is the fruit of a faithful life. And the next generation is watching. And it makes an impression on them. Folks, whether you realize it or not, they're watching you. Your kids are watching you. Your grandkids are watching you. They're watching how you live your life in Christ and how the church fits into that pattern. Decisions have implications, and unbiblical decisions lead us and those we influence further from Christ and His church. Believing is belonging. Believing is belonging. Folks, if we're going to grow, if we're going to be the church that God is calling us to be, each one of us must play our part. As your pastor, and my primary role is to equip the saints. That's my biblical role. That's what Ephesians tells me. My role is to equip you to do the work of ministry, to prepare you to care for one another. I can't provide the kind of care that all of you need. Okay? I can't care for all of you adequately to where you're going to be happy with the amount of pastoral care you get from one person. I can't do that for 200 people. You've got to take your place. You've got to play your part. And you've got to provide that care for one another. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's how the church grows. When you step in and you bring your gifts to bear and you care for one another. And many of you do that so beautifully. So beautifully. David Jeremiah put it this way, and I'll close. He said this, "The only way the corporate body of Christ will fulfill the mission Christ has given it is for individual Christians to have a vision for fulfilling that mission personally." It's not up to the church. It's up to who? You. Because you are the church. Believing is belonging, man. Find your place, play your part, because church still matters. And it will. For all eternity. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the clarity of your word. Thank you for the privilege to preach it in all its clarity. Lord, thank you for the truth. May it find residence in our hearts. May it move us from our complacency. May it draw us into a deeper understanding of your plan and your purpose for our lives as followers of your Son, Jesus Christ. May we, Lord, have a fresh and a new move, Father, of your Spirit in our hearts, a move of understanding and appreciation for what Christ has accomplished for us on the cross. That, Lord, through His sacrifice, through His shed blood, we are forgiven. Lord, we are saved from an eternity spiritually separated from you, an eternity of misery that we cannot even comprehend this side of eternity. Lord, may we as your children, may we as those who are yet to step over the line and embrace Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, may we have a fresh understanding of what it is you've called us to be and to do as your church. And Lord, may we make that commitment. It is one that we will not regret for all eternity. Lord, let us be your church. And Father, we just pray that you would do something fresh, something beautiful, and something big through this body of Christ as we play our part. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.